Hi, this is Linda Rex with Our Life in the Trinity, and today I would like to bring a sermon for August 28th, Proverbs 17 on our Christian calendar in the ordinary days. And today's text from the Gospel is Luke 14, begins in verse 1, and then it goes verses 7 to 14. So I'm going to start by reading in the New American Standard Bible those verses, and then we'll have a prayer, I guess we could start with a prayer. And then we're going to talk about the topic for today, when Jesus hosts a party, and then we'll have communion, and then we'll close with a benediction. So if you want to gather your bread and juice or wine for communion, please feel free to do that, and we'll get started. So join me for a moment, if you would, in prayer. Thank you, Father, that we can be together today, and we always come to you because you are the center, Jesus. You are the one our life is in, and we invite Heavenly Spirit, you to awaken us to greater faith in Christ, greater understanding of your will and your ways, a greater knowledge of the Father. And this is all in and through Jesus, and in his name we pray. Amen. So in Luke 14, in verse 1, it says, "It happened that when he went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, they were watching him closely." Verse 7, "And he began speaking a parable to the invited guests when he noticed how they had been picking out the places of honor at the table, saying to them, 'When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to him, "Give your place to this man." And then in disgrace, you proceed to occupy the last place. But when you are invited, go and recline at the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And he also went on to say to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." So let's think about this. When I was reading the Gospels, I was surprised one day to come to the understanding that Jesus was always eating with people, or fellowshipping with people, or gathering around a meal to eat or to drink, or, you know, going to the well at Samaria and asking for a drink of water. So much of what he did in connecting with people had to do with eating and drinking. It's kind of something that's real interesting. Now, in this story, if you look right before in the verses, we started with verse 1 and then we went to verse 7, right? And in the little section before that, Jesus comes to this man's house where he's invited. And while he's there, he sees a man who has severe edema, you know, where he's filled with fluid and his body isn't the way it should be. And so it's the Sabbath, and his Jewish host would have believed that you don't do healing on the Sabbath, that is work. But Jesus heals this man, and he says to the people there, you let your animals out, you make sure they're fed, you make sure your children have what they need. Why can I not heal this man on the Sabbath? And they couldn't respond to what he said because, you know, they really didn't have much to say. And then, so they started watching him closely, and here he is, a guest in this man's house. Now, Jesus observes that as the people came in for the meal, they were fussing over who got the chief seats. Now, what was the chief seats? Well, usually next to the host, there would be a left and a right side, the right being the premier, the left being kind of next, and then the ones closest, if there were other seats closest to the host or hook, that would be where they would want to be. And so Jesus is watching them fuss over who gets to sit where. Now, these are grown adults, I want you to notice. And their position in the community was very important to them back then. Honor in this way was very important in their social circles. Jesus says to them, you know, maybe you need to exercise a little more humility. Instead of insisting you get the greatest seat, what if you took a lower one and let the host invite you up higher, and thereby kind of promoting you, instead of taking the highest seat and then having to embarrassedly step down to let someone of greater prominence have it. So, yeah, there was some great comments Jesus was trying to help them understand humility instead of this insistence on being at the place of prominence. Then he turns to the host. I mean, you know, if you invite someone to your house, do you really want him doing these things? But Jesus was right out there with all this. Then he turns to the host and he says, you need to be inviting people who can't invite you back. And I think it was kind of this hint that maybe, did he invite that man with a demon to his party, to his meal? Or did he have to kind of leave because he wasn't prominent enough? Or he was still maybe considered unclean? So Jesus tells this man, invite those who can't invite you back. That is what you need to do. Now, you know, one of the readings for today is also Hebrews 13, 1-6. And in the Mirror Bible, verse 1 says, treasure family bonds and friendship. Family fondness remains the essence of this kingdom. You know, in a family, if it's a healthy family, everyone is treated as beloved and important to the family circle, right? And that's that family fondness. There's a place at the table for every person, whether they have a physical issue, whether they have a mental or emotional issue, they're welcome at the table, right? So then in verse 2, he says, treat strangers with equal affection. They could be a messenger of God in disguise. Identify, verse 3, with those who are in prison or suffering abuse for their faith as if you are the one afflicted. And it goes on and talks about some other things that are true about what it means to live in the truth of who we are as God's beloved children, seated at his table. So, going back to our story with Jesus, you know, Jesus is here as a guest at this meal. But he's, interestingly enough, he's approaching it as though he is the ultimate host. He, in fact, was God in human flesh, who was welcoming every human being to the divine banquet, a relationship with God, seated at God's table, the Father's table, And the only appropriate response to Jesus' invitation to eternal life in relationship with God and one another is humility. Seeing our need to be cared for and fed by God, understanding our total dependency upon God, on the reality that the only thing any of us deserve is death, but He offers us redemption and salvation instead. Robert Capone, in his book, Kingdom, Grace, Judgment, Paradox, Outrage, and Vindication, the Parables of Jesus, says this. He says, the world has been summoned precisely to a party, to a reconciled and reconciling dinner, says the Lamb of God. Judgment is pronounced only in the light of the acceptance or declination of that invitation. We judge ourselves worthy simply by not showing up or showing up. You know, Christ has said you're worthy of an invitation. He has done what is needed to pay our judgment, right? So we're judged in His side as because of His life, death, resurrection, and ascension, worthy of participating in that party. What do we judge ourselves as worthy of? So who is Jesus inviting to be at the heavenly table, the eternal life, the banquet of the Father? Who's He inviting? If we look at the parable that follows this story, so we're keeping it in the context of what Luke is sharing here, we see that this king is inviting the leaders and the nobles to attend his banquet, but they begin to find excuses to not be there. They didn't want anything to do with him. In the same way Jesus had invited these people who knew God, knew His ways, but they didn't want anything to do with Jesus, did they? So we see this happening. Now, in the parable that's following what we're talking about today, we see the king then, in his anger or frustration, beginning to invite all of the humble people from all walks of life, off the street, from the byways, from the country, from, you know, different parts of the city, and in just inviting everyone, and they all come. In the same way, Jesus was offering the same invitation to every person He met, and people who were sick, people who needed deliverance, people who needed freedom. He was inviting every one of them, and they were running to Him, wanting to be free, wanting to know more about what Jesus was teaching them. Not all of them understood what He was offering, but can you see the difference here? So Jesus speaks to these people who were leaders of the Jews, and at that time, and He says, look, you know, there needs to be a greater humility going on here with regards to how you live your life and who you invite to participate with you in your life with God. And look at what Jesus did. Jesus included each and every human being in His invitation to His heavenly banquet of eternal life by coming as God in human flesh to live our life, to die our death, and to rise again. If we want to participate in that banquet of eternal life, so to speak, the best approach is what? To take the lowest seat, the seat that Jesus took. What is the seat that Jesus took? He took on our death. He died our death, an excruciating death of the crucifixion that we imposed upon him because we didn't want to follow where he was leading, right? We take the seat Jesus took. We die in his death. We rise in his resurrection. Our life, as Paul says, is hidden with Christ in God now. He has given us new life because when he rose from the grave, he stooped down underneath all death, all of us who have died, and rose us up with him in the resurrection and ascension. We sit in Christ at the Father's right hand. And so he sends the Spirit because he wants us to participate in that and share in that and be a part of that. And we do that by dying in his death and rising in his resurrection. You know, Jesus is the ultimate host. He invites everyone to the table with him in his relationship with the Father, in his intimate relationship with the Father. In the Spirit, he says, come be a part of this. You are a part of this, so participate in it by faith. And his only requirement to participating in his intimate relationship with the Father and the Spirit in that divine banquet or fellowship is that we die in him, that we receive the death he has died, and we receive the resurrection that he is risen in, and that we receive the Spirit he has sent. We acknowledge our humble need for and gratitude for his including us in what he's done. He's the great ultimate host. He's invited us, given us the invitation, given us the clothes to wear. He's provided the transportation. He's given us everything we need. What are we going to do with that? Except say thank you and show up, right? Show up. You know, if we insist that other people have to go through some process in order to be good enough to be there, we're excluding ourselves from that invitation simply by our unwillingness to do it the way Jesus says it's done. It's done in him. And that means no one's excluded. Our worthiness, their worthiness, is not based on our efforts to do good or be good enough, but solely on Christ alone. We're utterly dependent upon him and all that he has done and is doing and will do, and his life in us through us in the Holy Spirit. The essence of the kingdom life is life in other-centered, loving, holy relationship as God's beloved children. And Christ is the beloved Son in relationship with the Father. We share in his perfect relationship with the Father in the Spirit. So we come to God's celebration table with reverence and gratitude. And we come to Jesus as the ultimate host. And we say yes to what he's done, right? He's done everything that is needed for us to be at the party, right? And invites us to enjoy the moment, right? The moments now and forever in relationship with God through Christ in the Spirit. That's what he's given us. And we always celebrate every week through communion that precious gift. We affirm essentials of our faith. We died with Christ. We rose with Christ. We share in his glory, both now and forever. We receive the gift he has given. He has allowed his body to be broken by us. He has allowed his blood to be shed by us as human beings. And he did it because he wanted to include us at his table, now and forever. So let us pray for a moment. and then we will take the elements together. Thank you, Jesus, for offering us your body, your blood, your very life, in that you have included us in your perfect relationship with the Father and the Spirit, and that you're offering it to us in the Spirit. We want to take a moment today, realizing the seriousness of this choice and this decision, that our life is wrapped up in your life. So we want to receive all that you've given, Jesus, and live in celebration, in gratitude, and in humble service all the rest of our days, now and on into eternity, as the Father's beloved children. Thank you for your gracious invitation. We receive it, we embrace it, and we want to participate now and forever in that. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and broke it, offered it, said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." We receive, Jesus, what you have given to us. Thank you. He also offered a cup of wine or juice and said, "Drink all of this." He says, "This is my blood poured out for you." Jesus offered his life to us. We receive, Jesus, your life forever. Thank you. Now may the Lord, your helper, who will never leave you or forsake you, fill your hearts with his love and your lips with his praise. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, God bless you. Hope you have a great week. And do come and visit us again at Our Life in the Trinity. You are loved. We love you.